I thought the title might be a little on the side of hyperbole with the word meteoric until we got to the end of 2012 and someone was nice enough to spread a rumor that the rules around the charitable income tax deduction might change. And word from the field is that, in fact, we will see 2012 being a record year industry-wide. And interesting, at least to us, three of the six largest gifts made in the United States in 2012, according to the Chronicle of Philanthropy, were made to community foundations, starting with Mark Zuckerberg's $500 million gift to Silicon Valley. Today I want to cover, we're going to kind of go over some of the basics and talk about why we're seeing the growth in donor-advised funds, talk about some of the basics of the tool, but I'd really like to leave you kind of with three major points. One is that a donor-advised fund is a wonderful tool in the appropriate circumstance for both smaller and larger donors. And we'll talk about why that is, but it can be very simple to establish and easy to use, and it can also play a role in very complex planning, and we'll talk about that. Secondly, a donor-advised fund is not a donor-advised fund is not a donor-advised fund. They can vary tremendously depending on what the needs of the donor are and the capabilities of the fund sponsor. And so we'll talk some about that. You'll see very basic transactional platforms and low-cost all the way to very customizable types of funds. And again, we'll talk about that. And thirdly, donor-advised funds increasingly, particularly for high net worth and ultra high net worth donors, are serving as a complementary tool partnered with other planning vehicles like private foundations and charitable lead and remainder trusts and the like. And we'll touch on that as well. I included several slides from the 2012 National Philanthropic Trust Study, which is sort of the leading study in our field about the growth in donor-advised fund utilization, size of assets, et cetera.